I just love Shawshank Redemption. I have seen it roughly a billion times. I'm estimating there. I own the DVD. I have it on my computer. I have seen it. I can quote the entire movie to you. But yet, if I'm flipping around the TV, ooh, Shawshank Redemption, and I'll sit there and watch it, I'm thinking, Andy, there's stuff you'd be doing. You own the DVD. You can go and watch it anytime you want to watch it. But I see it come on, and I sit there and I watch it because I have seen it a billion times, and I just love it. It's one of those movies that I just love. There's so much good stuff there as a preacher. If you've never seen the movie, it's a great movie about a guy wrongly convicted of murder, and it's his experience in prison. And the reason why it's such a powerful movie to me is the entire movie is basically about hope. It's a movie about hope because he was wrongly convicted. He shouldn't be in jail. And this movie is about his experience with hope. And there's this one pivotal scene that I've always liked in the movie where he gets thrown in the hole in the solitary confinement for a little bit. And he comes out and he's eating lunch with his buddies. And he says, oh, it must have been tough, you know, to be in there. He's like, no, I had the music in my mind, and it kept me sane while I was in the hole. And they were talking about it, and he said, you know, we need that in here most of all because we can lose hope. He said, we need to be reminded that there's not a place made of stone. We need to be reminded that there's a place of beauty. That there's a place of life. We need hope. And Morgan Freeman, the Morgan Freeman character, whatever his name is, he's Morgan Freeman in every movie he's in. Morgan Freeman says, oh, you know, hope will drive a man crazy. Hope will drive a man crazy. He said, no, hope is a good thing. And no good thing ever dies. And then the movie, at the end of the movie, Morgan Freeman goes to the place where he buried some money, and he writes him a letter, and he says, remember, hope is a good thing. And no good thing ever dies. Hope is a powerful concept. One of the best sermons I ever heard in my life was preached by Bishop Clay Lee, who's a retired bishop of Mississippi. He preached at an annual conference, and usually an annual conference is not always known for the moving of the Spirit and good preaching. It's not normally known for that. And Bishop Lee preached, and he preached a sermon about hope, about how so often in the course of history, people had the chance to give up. People had the chance to quit. People had the chance to abandon hope, to abandon these things, to abandon the future. He said they kept hoping even when there was no reason to hope. That hope transcends the reality you see. Hope is banking on what is to come. Hope says, yes, things are bad. Yeah, things are rotten right now. Yes, things are awful. But hope says this, it will not always be so. That it will not always be as it is right now. And that's what this world wants to take from us is hope. The world wants you to think that right now is all that matters. And that life will not get better. And that this is as good as it gets. That's what the world wants to do to us as Christians. That's what the world wants to do to us, period. It wants us to abandon hope. The Bible is a story of hope. From the beginning to the end, it's a story of hope. It's a story of the Hebrew people in slavery in Egypt. And the scripture says, they cried out to God. They cried out in their pain. They cried out in their anguish. They cried out in their hope, in their brokenness. And God heard their cry. And God sent to them a deliverer. There must have been days when they were down there making bricks without straw. And they thought, oh, where's God? Where's God? Where is hope in this? But they kept crying out to God. Even though they didn't see him. Even though they couldn't experience him. They kept crying out to God. Hope makes these same people of Israel, in days of oppression, in days of slavery, in days of a rotten king like Saul, cry out to God, God, we need a king. God, we need a king. And they must have never thought they'd get the king they deserved. They must have never thought they would get the leader they needed. But they cried out anyway. They cried out, and God heard their prayers. And rose up David, a man after God's own heart. After David died, there were dark days. There were dark days, and they said, God, we need a king. God, we need a savior. God, we need someone who will be our leader, who will guide us, who will love us, who will care us, who will bring us to freedom. Oh, God, send us a king. Send us a savior. Send us a Messiah. And they prayed and they longed and they prayed and they longed and they prayed and they longed. There must have been days when they said, we're giving up hope. There's no hope in this. There's no hope. God's never going to rescue us. God's never going to save us. God will never deliver us. There must have been days when they were tempted to give up hope. And God sent to them in the manger one named Jesus, who was their hope. We need hope, don't we? We live in an age without hope. I used to preach in the Delta. I preached there for 5 years. And I would drive around some areas. And when I got nothing to do, when I'm in a place where I need to think, I go drive. When I'm irritated, I go drive or jog. I did a lot of driving last night after the ball game. I'm just kidding. I just went to bed. I thought driving can't help the way I feel right now. I'm just going to bed. Just go to sleep. It'll be better in the morning. But when I'd get frustrated in the Delta, I would just go for a drive. And you would drive around pockets of poverty that had been there so long. Generation upon generation upon generation of hopelessness. My first apartment out of college, I took a year off between college and seminary and worked at the, I tell folks I was the token Methodist at the Baptist bookstore in Jackson. I worked there, and I was also a youth minister at a church down the road. And I wouldn't make a lot of money, so my only goal in my apartment was to find the cheapest one I could find. Usually, cheap apartments are not in good locations. Maybe it's just the Jackson thing. But usually the cheaper the apartment, the more dangerous part of town you're in. So I was in an area of Jackson that my mama wasn't real happy I was in. But hey, I could pay the rent. I was happy. And some nights when I would get bored, I would just go drive. And I'd wind up in places where I probably shouldn't have been. And I would see brokenness all around. When I was in seminary in Memphis, I did the same thing. To avoid studying for a test, I would get in my car and drive. And I'd see brokenness everywhere. But here's the thing, y'all. To see brokenness, we don't have to get into our cars and drive, do we? We just need to look around. Quite often, we just need to look within our own lives to see the hopelessness therein. Not that you are hopeless. Not that your situation is hopeless. But there's that old voice in the middle of the night when you can't sleep that says, it's never going to get better. No one really loves you. It's never going to change. This is just the way it is. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever heard that voice. But I don't think so. I think we've all struggled with that voice. We've all struggled with that hopelessness. We've all struggled with thinking, oh my gosh, it's just not going to get better. It's not going to get better. Our finances are never going to improve. My marriage is never going to find peace. Our family is never going to be whole. There will never be a better job. There will never be another offer. My kids will never get right. My parents' health will never improve. And we hear that voice telling us, give up hope. It's not going to get better. Just accept it. That's what the world wants to do to us. The Jewish people had lost hope. Since David, they'd had a bad run of kings. They had had their land taken. They were now under the throne or the thumb of Rome. They thought, it's never going to get better. And this is what God did. God sent to them someone that changed the equation. God gave them his son. And Jesus Christ came to bring hope. Hope that says, you know what? It doesn't have to be like it is right now. Things don't have to be the same. You don't have to live like you've always lived. Things can be changed. Life can be restored. Families can be healed. There is a real hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. Nothing else but Christ is hope. Nothing else but Christ changes lives. Nothing else but Christ changes the world. In that one moment at Christmas Day, hope came to earth. And the world has never been the same. He is our hope. He is our life. He is our peace. He is our joy. And we will find it nowhere else but in Him. He is our hope. And we need that hope. I need that hope. I'm glad Holly does our Christmas shopping, because if she didn't, everyone in my family would get gum and socks, because I hate shopping. We all want the perfect Christmas, don't we? We all want the perfect tree with the perfect presents, with the perfect life. And we get depressed when we realize life's not perfect. That the tree is never going to be perfect. The gifts are never going to be perfect. The turkey is never going to be cooked just right. The dressing will be dry. The cranberry sauce will not be cranberry enough. We place our hope in the wrong things. Y'all, there is a hope there. There is a hope for you. But that hope is not in the stuff of this time of year. That hope is in Christ Jesus. And so my hope for you this morning is I want you to experience a season of joy. I want you to experience a season of life. I want you to experience all that this world has to give you in this time of year. I want you to know the joy of a child's face lighting up on Christmas morning. I want you to know the joy of family gathered together, singing and laughing and playing and having a good time. I want you to know these things. But in the end, these things are not your hope. Your job is not your hope. Your possessions are not your hope. These things are not your hope. Your hope is Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus says this, it will not be as it's always been. I don't know what you're going through right now. maybe you're in a bad place in your marriage. Maybe you're thinking, how are we going to pay for all this Christmas stuff we've got coming up? Maybe you're thinking about how you're going to pay your mortgage next month. Life is hard. Jesus Christ didn't come to make life easy. He didn't come to make life perfect. He didn't come to wish it all away. He didn't come to make it all better right now. But what he did come is for this, to say, it will get better. It will get better. Don't give up hope. That's what the world wants you to do, is to give up and to give into that voice that says it'll never get better. To give into that voice that says it's never going to change. To give into that voice that says things are gone. It can't be fixed. Just quit. Do not quit. Do not give up. Do not abandon hope, because Christ is alive. And there is a hope. Because the grave couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't defeat him. And the devil couldn't break him. There is a hope, but it is not found in the stuff of this world. It is not found in your possessions. It is not found in your job. And it is not found in finding the perfect Christmas tree. It is found in Jesus Christ. There is hope. Where are you placing your hope this morning? Where's that hope this morning? Is it in Jesus Christ? Or is it in something else? You were so precious to him, he gave his son for you, for us, for all of us. Don't give up. Don't give up. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what you're up against right now. I have no idea. But you do. You know the wall you've got to climb. You know the fight you've got to fight. You know the hurdle you've got to jump. And you're going to hear that voice saying quit. You're going to hear that voice saying give up. You're going to hear that voice saying it's never going to get better. You're going to hear that voice saying, this is the way it's going to be. Don't listen. Don't listen. Don't listen to that voice. Because there's another voice saying that you are mine and that you are precious. And I moved heaven and earth. I have conquered sin, death, and the grave. And there's nothing that can stop me from saving you and changing your life. Nothing. Don't listen to that voice. Don't listen. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's what Paul wrote. Paul also wrote these verses in Colossians 1:27, where he said this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. It can be different. It doesn't have to be the same. You don't have to live with fear. You don't have to live with shame. You don't have to live with doubt. You don't have to live with depression. You don't have to live with these things. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's hope today. There's life today. It doesn't have to be like it's always been. That voice is going to tell you it is. That voice is going to tell you it's not going to get better. That voice is going to quit. It's going to tell you to quit. One of my favorite, well, not my favorite verses of Scripture, but one of the funniest verses of Scripture to me is what Job's wife says to Job whenever Job is at his lowest point. She gives him some very loving advice. She tells him this: curse God and die. Thanks, honey. Yeah, that's what she actually tells him. You may have those in your life that tell you, hey, give up. Why are you doing that? That's stupid. Why are you doing that? Just quit. You may be surrounded by family that doesn't believe in you. You may be surrounded by coworkers that don't believe in you. You may be within yourself, don't believe in you. But I'll tell you who does believe in you, and that's God. He has never left your side. He has never forsaken you, and he will never give up on you. You are worth more to him than you will ever, ever, ever know. You are his prized possession, and he loves you. He will not give up on you. Don't give up on yourself. He's never stopped believing in you. Don't stop believing in yourself. He has never lost hope in you. Don't lose hope in yourself. And don't lose hope in him. It doesn't have to be like it's always been. It doesn't have to stay the same. There is hope. That hope is found in God. That hope is found in Christ Jesus. Christ in you. The hope of glory. There is hope. My prayer for you as we draw close to Christmas is that you don't forget where your hope is truly found. That you don't forget where life is truly found. In Christ Jesus. There is hope. Never forget. One of the greatest speeches ever given in the English language was given by Winston Churchill. I love Churchill. Churchill's great. He was known to go on and on and on and on in his speeches. And so one day he was giving the speech at a commencement address for school. This is after he was voted out of office after World War II. Churchill goes up to the podium, and he puts his hand on the podium, and he looks around the room, seemingly looking everyone in the room in the eye. His speech was this: never, ever, 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 ever give up. And he sat down. There's going to be a voice telling you to give up. Telling you to lose hope. Do not listen. It's going to get better. There is hope. For there was a babe born in Bethlehem that changed the world. There is hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is hope. Let us pray.